Privacy Sandbox on Android is coming soon. In fact, Singular is already testing it with Gameloft and other customers. But what's new and what do marketers need to know about it? Hello and welcome to Growth Masterminds. My name is John Katsir. This is part two. If you haven't seen part one, we did a part one with these very guests right here. And we got into a lot of different stuff. Go back in time a little bit in Growth Masterminds on YouTube, wherever you're watching or listening, and check it out. Where we ended is that Singular will handle everything. But there's still questions and there's still lots of stuff to dig into, because if you really want to understand it, you're going to be better at it. So what data will you get back? We're going to go into SDK runtime. We're going to go into protected audiences, all that stuff. To dive in, we've got Ron Shub and Yuval Carmel back for a second episode. They are software architects and do all kinds of cool stuff and run tests and everything on the back end with Singular product. Thank you for joining, Yuval. Thank you for joining, Ron.
Glad to be here, John.
Awesome. Awesome. I feel like I need facial hair. I mean, like, you know, where's my 10 o'clock shadow or my, you know, 1 week? I don't know. I feel like I don't fit in, whatever. We're going to jump in. Ron, we're going to start with you. You ran a chunk of tests and you're probably still running them with Privacy Sandbox full on end to end. What did you learn?
Right. So yeah, I just start off by saying that, recently we released a blog post about it with a lot of details regarding our testing that I'm sure explains it much better than what I can. So perhaps we can also share a link to that here. But yes, I'll still give it a go. Okay, so Singular has completed a full end-to-end test, like you said, but that was internal. It included both the on-device attribution reporting APIs endpoints and the server-side attribution reporting APIs endpoints. So pretty much fully integrated with all the APIs. We also tested both the redirect flow and the non-redirect flow to make sure that we can integrate with all ad networks, no matter their decision. And we've also managed to perform some successful mutual tests already with Google Ads, mainly around registering in-app events, redirecting them to Google Ads, and then being able to pull the data back from AdWords. So that's what we did until now. And also in the blog post, we talk quite a bit about the full end-to-end test that we're planning to do with both Google Ads and Gameloft, which is quite huge because it consists of an MMP, an ad network, and an advertiser, which means we're performing a test with all the different players.
The real deal, the full meal deal out in the wild, actually happening, going on. As you did all this stuff, as you set all this stuff up, were there any major challenges, any gotchas, any, whoa, I didn't know that would happen?
So we had quite a few, I must admit, but like the Privacy Sandbox team were super collaborative in helping everything, in every part of the way. So they've been really terrific. And I have quite a few examples for that, for like things that happens on the way. But the most recent one is when we tested with Google Ads. I mean, the self-attributing network Google Ads, which is not related to the Google Privacy Sandbox team. But anyway, we scheduled the date for the test. And a few days before it, we realized that Google Ads and us are not on the same manifest file. Doesn't really matter what the manifest file is, but it's something that is needed for carrying out the mutual tests. So we've reached out to the Privacy Sandbox team and they were fully dedicated in helping us and managed to produce a new manifest in a very short time. And also from the very beginning of the work on the attribution reporting API integration, we had a bunch of challenges and not everything was ironed out and worked out of the box. So opened quite a bit of GitHub issues, and all of them were addressed and solved quite quickly. And now there's no outstanding challenges that we were aware of in the end-to-end testing.
Amazing. And looking forward to the results with Gameloft and other advertisers as well. Okay, so we talked about this a little bit in the first one, but I want to talk a little bit about the process of technically how mobile advertising works under Privacy Sandbox versus how somebody might understand the process already. I mean, if you're doing it already, in some cases it can be super simple. You're working with an agency, they place something with they place a campaign with maybe a DSP, maybe an SSP, maybe they go on an exchange, whatever. They make a purchase, maybe it's programmatic and there's all sorts of stuff that's happening at machine speed. And somebody, there's a bid and they're, oh, it works and boom, an ad gets sent out from some ad server. Get seen. There's a recording of the impression, maybe with a GAID on it. If there's a click, there's a recording of that as well. There's some postbacks get fired, and people understand that kind of reality. Now we're moving into a new reality with Privacy Sandbox. How does the process of placing an ad and getting the data about what happened as a result of that ad being placed happen? What goes on?
Right. So the process is different. I mean, the APIs are different. The way it works is practically different. Until now, we, you know, at least on the MMP side, we had an SDK that's on the device. We'll talk about SDK runtime also in a second. But the SDK practically sent whatever events the advertiser wanted to configure. And there was no limitation. We had the event level reporting and user level reporting, and we could take all the data and give it to the marketer, and he could decide to do with it whatever he wants. But all of that changed, and there's limitations. So same as in SKAD network, also here, you can't send all the events that you want to send anymore. Instead, there is strict limitations. So if until now we just send the in-app events, now what we need to do is call the new API, the new attribution reporting API on device. And we have a limitations on that that we're going to talk probably soon enough. But we have to use this API. It's more limited. It's less limited than SKAD network, but it's still limited. So the process and the wiring is different. In terms of marketers, it's the same. I mean, there's different APIs on the device, but data is still will still be delivered to them, just less granular, with less metrics, and so forth.
And targeting as well is different, also, right? I mean, targeting will happen somewhat on device, correct?
Yeah. So I guess you're referring to the protected audience product, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. We'll get into that a little later. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Let's get into details of the data that marketers will get, because there are limitations on the data you just mentioned. You can't get data on everything. There's some limitations of that. There's also some noise added. What data will marketers get from a Privacy Sandbox campaign?
Okay, so let's first understand maybe the noise and the limitations, and then I can also talk about what marketers are planning in getting. So in the aggregatable reports introduced in Android Privacy Sandbox, there are indeed two types of limitation that are enforced on different stages of the process. So the first limitation is on the user level, which means per a specific user and a specific app, and happens on the device when registering events. The limitation is that the sum aggregation of all events of the user should not exceed a certain value, which is around 65K. If we try to send more values after we have passed the threshold, they will just not be recorded. So that's the first limitation. The second limitation is on the report level. This one is enforced on the server side later on when processing the actual aggregated summary report that will be presented to the user. So for each line in the result table, Google will be adding noise, which is around the value of 10K. So we said before, for users, 65K, and the noise is around 10K. So that's practically the numbers. And just to make sure we all aligned on this point, then there is the amount of noise is not affected by the number of users or installs on that specific line, meaning the volume of traffic that exists on the app is no effect on the noise that would be added for each of the lines. So there's two limitations. And with that, we can start talking about what marketers can expect. So I think the TLDR here is that marketers will still be able to choose the metrics and events they want to measure. We've learned a lot from SKAN, and in SKAN, we saw that mixed models worked really well, and we are considering making it also the default in the privacy sandbox reporting. So a classic setup would mean getting installs, probably one or two coordinated events, and coordinated revenue. Also, in SKAN, we provided the raw data for debugging purposes, and I assume we'll do the same thing here because enterprise customers are usually very much interested in it. But if we go back now to the limitation that I've just talked about, we said that we can record 65K per user and that the noise added is around 10K. So when viewing the report, I guess marketers will want to make sure that the data they are looking at is accurate, right? So for that purpose, we're planning on also exposing the confidence interval, which is practically identical to what we have today in the SKAN reporting page, which if I have to sum up, it means that in our future privacy sandbox reporting page, marketers could expect to get their prioritized metrics and events together with the corresponding confidence intervals.
There's a lot to unpack in what you just talked about there, right? And one of the things is that this is not like crowd anonymity in SKAN. It's noise that's added. It's regardless of the quantity of events or quantity of users that are happening. And you said it's about 10K added to the 65K. So I'm guessing you're getting about 15%-ish noise.
Right. So there is some more complexity here that I try to avoid, but I mean, it's how many users you have, right? Because you can have multiple users that are all relevant for the same line in the report. And then the max value that you can encode is much more than 65. And then the noise will be less than even 1%. So that's the game here. You can add dimensions and metrics, but you still want each line to consist of multiple users. And if you do that, then you're quite accurate. But that's the game. I mean, it also depends what's mostly interesting for the marketers. So for, I don't know, countries like US or big campaigns, it will be easy. But for countries that you target less, or smaller campaigns, or if you want to get ad granularity, then maybe the noise will be around 50% because maybe there will be only one user in that specific line.
Okay. So talk about that a little bit more and unpack that game. And I know that you're working on, and that's something that we're going to release. So this is kind of an early note here. We're going to release a bit of a calculator that lets people play with the dimensions that they want, some of the volume, some of the other things, and then see, okay, if I change that, here's the data that I get out and here's the confidence level I can have. Talk about that in some more detail.
Yeah. So like you said, there is metrics and dimensions and there's decisions to make here. And I would say there is kind of a trade-off between getting more granularity and events on one hand, and introducing more noise on the other end. And for that exact purpose, like you've mentioned, and there's a teaser here, we're gonna release something that is called the calculator. And this tool has quite a complex algorithm under the hood, but we try to make it super simple for marketers to use and adjust all the relevant levers and see how it actually impacts the noise. So in the calculator, marketers would be able to change the dimensions and metrics that they are interested in. And in return, they will get the expected report with confidence intervals. So it will mimic exactly what we're planning to have in production later on. And they can even like input their numbers to understand how much noise there will be. But we're probably going to release it soon enough. So more on that. So
I like that timeline. Soon enough. That's a great timeline. I'll tell that to my bosses every time. Soon enough. What are you talking about? Soon enough. It'll come. Perfect. I know what you're talking about. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm thinking a couple of weeks, maybe less than a month or something like that. We'll have out something out there. You're not freaking out. So I'm guessing that's somewhat accurate. So soon enough.
I might stay up to work late tonight after this talk to get the job done soon enough.
Exactly. Okay, cool. So there are some significant complexities in how to maximize signal from Privacy Sandbox. Singular will release a tool that will let you craft the kind of conversion models and number of events you want to track so that you'll know the optimum number for your campaigns and your geos and all that stuff. That is cool. That is good news. And on the back end, you will get data similar to what Singular provides with Scan Advanced Analytics on the iOS side that is modeled, but will have a confidence level associated with it. So you'll be able to move forward knowing how truthy, how accurate it is. Okay, good. That helps marketers understand what they can put in on the front end. It helps understand what they'll get out on the back end and then make some decisions on budget and campaigns and other stuff like that. Let's transition away from the data that marketers will get and talk about something that is new in Privacy Sandbox. And I bet you Apple's kicking themselves that they didn't think of this before. And I'm betting that we'll get it in iOS 18 or 19 or something like that. SDK runtime. What is SDK runtime and how is this going to impact mobile and mobile development as well as mobile marketing?
So I'll take this one, John. So SDK runtime, it's basically a way to sandbox your SDKs. Like the way you use SDKs today is a bit too loose, as let's say, on the permission side and the access they have. And they basically inherit everything from the app they run it. So once you use an SDK, you give that SDK today all the permissions that your app is asking. So if you want to use the Google Advertising ID, you basically gave the same permission to all the other SDKs you're using. So the SDK runtime is not like it's not just a method to prevent a specific way to track people. It's more of a way to create more structure and a bit more organization in the way you use your SDKs. So the way you do it is you give each one of them a specific permission, specific set of permissions. If you want to give a specific SDK the permissions to use your Google Advertising ID and to do fingerprinting, you can do it. It doesn't prevent it, but it still gives you the idea to manage it better on an SDK level.
Interesting. And so if you're an SDK manufacturer or a vendor, if you're a company that has an SDK like Singular, there's an SDK that Singular puts into many clients' apps, although you can do server to server. What does this mean for you? What does this mean for how you distribute your SDK and how customers will incorporate that SDK inside their apps?
Yeah. So let's think about like the two different sides here. You have the app developer, which is basically like the teacher in a kindergarten, in a school or something. And the SDKs that are basically the kids. And you want to manage them in a way that they will be sandboxed. They will play in their sandbox, each and every one of them, and they'll have the specific permissions they need. So Singular's SDK requires specific permission. We want to use, of course, the Privacy Sandbox features, which require specific permissions. So we will ask for these permissions. And use an app developer will give each SDK the relevant permissions that they require. If a specific SDK requires for a set of permissions that is, not listed in the right way, not well externalized by the SDK, then they basically won't be able to do that action that they're aiming. So, yeah.
It's pretty interesting, actually, really, because this gives app developers and publishers much better insight into the privacy implications or other implications of adding SDKs to their website. They're explicitly granting those permissions. They're saying this is the fence within which you can build and run and operate, and you can't go outside that. That's huge. It reminds me a little bit of what Apple's trying to do with privacy manifests, but it's technology versus policy. And I wonder if we'll see something different on the iOS side. We'll get into that eventually. It should make publishing apps easier in some sense. You know where the SDK is, you can grant what it wants, and there you go. And you can say, okay, I don't want to do that. Will it hurt anything legit, do you think?
So as you mentioned, I think it will make everything a little bit more complex because you do have to manage more things. Like it's technology, but it is a bit more policy. You need to know what you're doing. You need to know for each SDK, what's the specific requirements, and you need to approve it. Will it hurt anything legitimate? I don't think so. It's like it's not the purpose, I think. Like if everything you're doing is legitimate and you can basically say, this is what I'm doing. So you can get the permissions for that. If you're already getting them today, like if you're hiding something and and you can't really run in a specific sandbox, which means you can't run in your own memory space and your own storage space. And you're trying to use things on the phone that are unrelated to your basic functions, then you can't do it. That's not legitimate. So the idea here is that everything that is legitimate shouldn't be really harmed by that.
The good thing is it should make Android a more secure platform. And it should make it a more private platform and one that operates better for users. So that's a good thing in general. So it has been, I think we intended to do these episodes back to back, you know, Privacy Sandbox 1 and Privacy Sandbox 2. I think it's been 2 months. I think it's been busy. You've been busy, you know, soon enough. We're operating on Ron's schedule. That's what we were doing. We're doing soon enough for episode 2. So this is soon enough. I'm actually glad that we took this much time because you've had much more experience with the testing, because we've had actually some developments as well. Google's released additional blog posts, other things. What's kind of new in Privacy Sandbox in the last few months?
Right. Absolutely. There are some new stuff. The area of like event level reporting APIs and aggregate reporting APIs are on beta for more than half a year. So if I'm not mistaken, at least more than half a year. There were some minor changes since, but nothing very major. So let's not talk about these APIs. The more recent change is on the protected audiences product or APIs. Google published a blog post around 2 weeks ago saying that they released the costume audience delegation endpoints, which is part of the protected audiences product and supports the flow of MMPs creating costume audiences on behalf of the buyers, which is, of course, what we are planning on using. And it's not on beta as of yet, but it is available on what's called the developer preview. We already managed to integrate with this API. And lastly, on the protected audiences product, in Singular, we already have an existing product that segments users and distribute those segments to the different networks. So I believe that our goal here would be to integrate the new protected audiences API, that the focus here is on the device instead of keeping the segments, the actual segment will, or the actual audience list will be saved on the device. And our goal here is to integrate these APIs with our existing product in such a way that it would make it seamless for our customers.
So protected audiences, of course, here's a big clue. It's in the name, is an audiences solution. Talk about how it works, how it operationally functions, and how it's different from audiences that people may have used in the past.
Right. So in the past, the flow was indeed a bit different. What we had in the past is just like the segmentation was still done on the same SDK, the same MMP SDK. So what usually causes a user to be segmented for a specific audience is just that it does a specific event. For example, we now want to add a segment that with all the users that added to cart, but didn't finish and bought the actual product. So this part would be the same. It will still be on the device. We'll still see in the app that someone added to cart, but instead of sending those events for those specific users back to Singular and saving this state in Singular, this state will be saved on the device. So we can't say, okay, this user has this Google advertising ID and get it back to our servers, but it will be available on the device. And with the new endpoints that Google has just released, what would happen is that we will see in our SDK that the user added to cart. We will call the fetch costume audiences API, which will practically segment, will add this user to a segment. And then we can send this with, like, we can add URIs, which practically means we can send these segments to all of the ad networks. So actually, Google helped us in kind of the distribution part here. So we have a distribution product, but in this case, Google will take the distribution part, and it will call the relevant ad networks, and the ad networks can add the bidding details. So Google did a really good job in separating the logic between MMPs and ad networks, and in such a way that we can focus on segmenting the users, and the ad networks can focus on bidding and actually showing the ads.
Super interesting technically. So in the past, you might know that, let's say you had 100 users, and you might have 10 in a segment, added to cart, didn't buy. Will you still know those numbers, even though you don't know which 10 those users are? You don't have a GA ID for them?
So we can still get some data, and the GA ID is not deprecated yet. So for now, the answer is totally yes. On the day of deprecation, if it will happen, then we still have some more organic data. We won't know who this user is, but we can still say someone added to cart. And also, Google is providing another reporting endpoint as part of these protected audiences. So we'll see the data for that, both in the protected audiences product and in the aggregatable reports endpoint, if you want to save this, encode this data in the aggregation service. And it will just be limited as everything in the privacy enhanced era.
Okay, interesting. So you still know that you have segments. You'll still know that you have a segment of 30% of users that are in a certain segment, and you'll be able to direct campaigns against that segment with pretty much any ad partner that is integrated with privacy sandbox. So that makes great sense. That works. But these are all internal audiences. These are all audiences of my own users, my own customers currently. This is not something that I can export or import. It's all inside the box, right?
Right. Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay, yes. Cool. Excellent. So we know right now that Privacy Sandbox is a year-ish away, probably a little bit more than that, from full implementation. We know 1% of Android devices approximately are Privacy Sandbox ready. When do we see that growing? When do we see that going to 10%, 20%?
I think the short answer is soon enough. It shouldn't be really that hard to migrate as well, at least on the app side, on the app developers. Mm-hmm. In the reporting side and the UA itself, like you're really using the privacy sandbox. That's the hard part. Like really using the aggregatable reports, the defining everything well, understanding the way noise is added and everything. Just making sure your app is ready, I think that's the easy part. And you'll probably see more and more apps like ready to use it.
That's a good segue, because I want to contextualize the impact of Privacy Sandbox over time versus Scan, right? When Scan came out and it became real, That was a seismic shift on the iOS side of the mobile universe. And that caused a panic, that caused a flight of ad dollars to Android, that caused a flight to probabilistic solutions for a period of time, which is has been slowly dropping down and will eventually be mostly impossible or close to impossible, at least with greater fidelity than IP address, although that may be even obscured at some point, who knows. Talk about the impact of Privacy Sandbox on Android-based mobile marketing. What will we see? What will happen as that gets fully unveiled?
So first iOS and now also Android, and there's nowhere, no place to hide anymore, right? That's a tough question, but I'm guessing that it will take marketers some time to trust the data, and there, it will take them some time to start adopting the product, and there is a learning curve here. But I think we'll be more ready. The fact that we know about the upcoming releases already, which we didn't know back then on SKI Network, we know that about the upcoming release ahead of time, it's practically a huge advantage. And also, as I've already mentioned, it's the second time we do the same thing, right? We've learned a lot from SKAN and we've built our advanced analytics product already in such a way that we're hoping to provide longer cohorts from day one in the attribution reporting API. So hopefully there would be better data on day one. And the fact that Google is not deprecating it as of yet, and we'll have time to start testing campaigns, is also much of an improvement. So I think we'll have enough time to prepare, and there is multiple partners and networks, advertisers that are all working and trying to test stuff. So I don't think it will be a doomsday scenario as it was for SKI Network. So if I have to sum up my thought, I think marketers, on when that happens, will have to deal with less granularity, less events than what they're used to, new stuff that they need to adopt. I think it will be far from catastrophic.
Yuval, your thoughts?
Yeah, so it actually depends a little bit, because I think Google are doing everything, they're trying to do everything right. They're trying to work together with the partners. They're trying to do it really well with the MVPs as well. You can really see it. It's like it differs by a lot from a scale. And so I think nothing comes as a surprise. Like everything is being well thought of, step by step. We're moving forward towards better integration. But that might not be the reason why SKI Network is not that adopted. It might be because of it's like really complex, and maybe people are not adopting it and trying to run away from it. And obviously, Sandbox is also complex, and it might have the same downside on that area. So people might not adopt it because it's too complex and they just don't want the hassle, even though MMPs are making everything as beautiful as possible for them. So it might have the same hiccups and issues on that front, but I think at least on working with the partners front, I think things will work better because we'll have better testing and better releases. The adoption is a hard one.
Yeah, at some level, you totally understand why Google is doing everything the way it's doing. They're doing it slowly. They're doing it in public, transparently. They're working hard with people in the ad tech ecosystem to make sure they're ready and integrated, understanding, learning, all that stuff. It's almost as if Google's existence depends on the ad universe still working. Of course it does, right? Well, it's not like Apple, they sell devices and yeah, we also have a little ad network that, you know, makes, I don't know, 10 billion.
Yeah, which wasn't harmed by any way by SKAN. That's really important.
Which also doesn't use SKAN network and doesn't rely on the
That's a little bit nice as well on Google's front, because they do treat all the partners like the same in some sense. That's also nice to see.
Would probably help the integration better as well.
Agree. So you've talked about testing. How can others get in on it? We know that Gameloft is in on it. I know that you've got a few other partners that you're adding or thinking about working with and others. Can others get in? And if so, how?
Yeah, that's a great question because we're currently looking or in the process of adding more partners to test with. So if you are an advertiser or an ad network and are interested in doing more end-to-end tests and getting comfortable with all the APIs, we are happy or more than happy to work together. We have already a few test plans as we talked about Gameloft and Google Ads, but we'd be happy to test more use cases. So all the APIs are already open, and there's a lot of like repositories and ways to get started with it. But we'd be happy to collaborate on that.
Wonderful. I want to thank you guys both for taking this time late in your evening to walk through this stuff. It is complicated. There is a lot to learn here. I do still hold on to the promise that you made in our first session, which is Singular will provide a big, fat, red, easy button for Privacy Sandbox, such that marketers can run their campaigns, get their data, know how trustworthy it is, optimize and continue. And I know there's more complexities, and they're going to have to choose how much data that they want to extract and what points and everything like that. And you're helping with that as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I kind of have the feeling there's a good chunk of time that we're looking at before Privacy Sandbox is the law of the land in mobile marketing on Android. I kind of have the feeling we'll have another chat, and maybe it'll be after you finish some of that testing with some partners and you learn some things. And I'd love to have some data on, okay, if we take current advertising on mobile, maybe user acquisition, whatever, on mobile, on Android, and we say that our efficiency here is one, whatever it is, right? Average efficiency is one. It'd be interesting to know, okay, we moved to Privacy Sandbox. Does our efficiency go to 0.75? Does it go to 1.1? Does it go to 0.5? Who knows? Lots to learn there, lots to see. Thank you so much for your time, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.